A new State Farm study has three big takeaways about distracted driving. The first two are not all that surprising. Cell phones continue to be a distraction for drivers, and if you are on a long, monotonous trip, you're more tempted to take your eyes off the road. But as WGLT's Ryan Denham reports, it's the third key finding that jumped out to State Farm Assistant Vice President for Enterprise Research, Laurel Straub.
We found that some of the new safety technologies that many newer vehicles are becoming equipped with seem to be lulling consumers into a false sense of security. And potentially consumers report that they're looking down at their phones or away from the road more often on vehicles that have things like lane keep assist and sort of automated cruise control.
And it maybe is stating the obvious, but what are your kind of thoughts or hypotheses on the psychology behind that, that being lulled into a false sense of security? Is it as simple as that? Someone thinking, oh, I've got this thing, so I probably don't need to pay as close of attention as I was before?
Yeah, that's our guess. Now, we haven't really done the research to dig into the specifics of the cause, but it does appear that folks who get accustomed to these kind of technologies, you have them in your vehicle, you know that when your vehicle starts to drift a little bit out of lane, the vehicle's going to correct, you know that the vehicle's going to brake or steer when you're coming up in cruise too close to a vehicle. Does give people a sense that it might be okay to spend a little bit more time with your eyes off the road, spend a little bit more time focused, unfortunately, often on that cell phone, than focused on the road ahead of you.
And your survey found what I found to be an alarming amount of video chat use by drivers with these advanced driving technologies, actually hopping on a phone, not just texting, not just emailing, not calling, actually doing a video call with somebody. Can you talk about that a little bit? I found that really surprising.
Yeah, we were actually surprised by that as well. We know that a lot of consumers spend time reading, sending text messages, or increasingly something that we've seen drivers do as we've been doing this survey. We know that increasingly folks are looking at their phones. We were, I think, a little bit surprised to see how often folks are using video chat on their cell phones. As a matter of fact, 9% of the consumers that we talked to said that they frequently use video chat on their cell phone while they're driving, and 15% said they sometimes do. Hmm. So it's something we should be concerned about.
Did you notice any meaningful differences between how different age groups, not that too many 16-year-olds or 18-year-olds are going to have a fancy car with lane assist in it, but any meaningful conclusions out of age differences in your subjects?
Yeah, what was really interesting when we looked at the data by age is, not surprisingly, young people are more inclined to report that they will utilize, have a willingness to utilize these cell phones more often, are more willing to take their eyes off the road and take their eyes off the road for a longer period of time. What was interesting, though, is that's not just something we see with young people. As a matter of fact, we know that folks over age 45 are also increasingly willing to look up from the road when they're driving. Generally our younger drivers report distracted behaviors a lot more often. As a matter of fact, 47% of 18 to 29-year-olds reported that they're willing to engage in some sort of distracted behavior. But nearly a quarter of drivers over age 45 reported that they're willing to read or send text messages while they're driving. Something that, again, is keeping your eyes off the road. So it's not just something we see the teenagers behind the wheel with their phones in front of their faces. Increasingly, we're seeing folks my age and many of my peers who are also sending text messages and checking our phones while we're driving as well.
What is the history of this survey? How long has it been going on in this kind of current form? Is there enough movement in the data that you can kind of draw conclusions about how behaviors are changing over time? Is there anything meaningful there that you've seen?
We've been doing the survey now for a number of years, and although this year that some of the questions we asked were a little bit different, I think I'd say the themes that we're seeing have remained consistent. we know that increasingly, as folks are getting more and more comfortable, as our cell phones are becoming a bigger part of our lives, you're walking down the street with your cell phone, you're sitting in a restaurant with your cell phone, they're always in our hands. What we're seeing happen is it's harder and harder for people to break that habit when they're behind the wheel. And increasingly, those phones have become such an important part of our lives that we just can't separate them, even at those times where we should be spending our time and attention focused very clearly on something else. That phone has become such a distraction to us. So we see that little light, we hear that little buzz. People just want to check and see what's going on there.
Why does State Farm do research like this? I mean, I imagine it's meaningful internally. It's also meaningful to some degree from a public relations standpoint to put out the results and have people digest it and look inward. But in your own words, why do something like this?
So I think the main reason we do the distracted driving data is tied to a long, long history that the company's had with safety and safety technologies. State Farm, go in the way, way back machine. We were a big advocate of seatbelts, of airbags, car seats, booster seats. And when we started noticing and seeing consumers reporting that they were increasingly becoming distracted by cell phone technology, by other technologies that they're using while in the vehicle, the fact that was a safety concern was really of paramount importance to the company. So it was something we knew we had to study a little bit more. We had to see, start understanding these trends, understanding what's happening out there on the roadways, and start trying to see what we think we can do to get the message out there and try to prevent those behaviors as best we can.
And your job isn't necessarily to come up with prescriptions to remedy the issue, but you know, if people misunderstand something like this, over relying on lane keep technology, for example, and thinking that it's doing more than it's doing, I don't know, do automakers, technology companies need to do a better job communicating what levels of autonomy are and how these things really work so that you know, you go to a dealership, they sell you on something, you buy into it a little bit too much. I don't know, how do we begin to kind of cross that bridge of better understanding the things that are in our car, in other words?
Yeah, I think it's difficult. Manufacturers are designing things, like I said, that are meant to help us as drivers, meant to help protect us and keep us safer on the roads. I think consumers have some responsibility to, when you buy a car with some of these technologies, to understand what they are and to ask those questions at the dealership. I know dealers are also trying to do their very best, in many cases, to help explain what some of these technologies are. But vehicles have become so technologically advanced that oftentimes, you know, you go through, you buy your car, you want to get out on the road, you want to take that car home. It's hard to sit and spend the time necessary to understand these technologies. Yet it's really, really important as well. So it's important for folks to just understand what their vehicle is capable of, but also understand what it's not capable of. This is probably the best advice.
I want to spend a little time talking about the autonomous driving technology a little bit. Last fall, WGLT, we interviewed one of State Farm's top voices on autonomous vehicles, a guy named Ryan Gammelgaard, a lawyer working on kind of the public policy side of this. In talking to him, he sort of described autonomous vehicles as initially an area of concern for the company State Farm years ago, for obvious reasons, but said now that the company is more optimistic about it being kind of an opportunity. And on the research side of this, I'm kind of curious, what are some of the things that State Farm is interested in when it comes to autonomous driving and the technology that underpins it?
Autonomous vehicles are probably only part of the overall transportation landscape that we're interested in studying. We know that it's probably going to be a number of years before we have truly autonomous vehicles out there. So we're interested in some of the earlier levels of autonomous vehicles, things like the driver-assisted technologies, some of the partial automation technologies that are currently available in a lot of vehicles. We know, for instance, many of these technologies can keep consumers safer, keep our customers safer. And that's something that's really important to us and has been important to State Farm for a long time. We're also interested, though, in the transportation environment around the autonomous vehicle. So you think about all of the other transportation changes that we're seeing right now. You've got the autonomous vehicles, but you also have now things like the scooters that are available all over the place. You've got connected cars, connected roadways, all kinds of different technologies that are out and about there that we're very interested in.
This particular survey, getting into driver behavior, smartphones, and safety, it's driver-supplied data. You know, it's a person's own reflections on the things they do when they're behind the wheel and they have a phone with them. So I think it was provided through an online survey earlier this year. So what other data points are there when it comes to safety with these sort of early-level autonomous driving technologies like lane assist? What are the other data points that we should be looking at and considering when it comes to how safe they are?
I think the technologies themselves are pretty safe, and the technologies are designed to assist drivers behind the wheel. Those technologies are not intended to replace drivers behind the wheel. And I think that's one of the things we've got to keep in mind when you have a car that's equipped with some of these technologies. It's very, very easy to become potentially over-reliant on them. They're designed to do very, very specific things. Keep the vehicle in the lane. Slow down the vehicle if it's coming up too quickly on a car. They're not designed to be able to respond to things like a ball rolling in front of the street with a child chasing after it, a deer that jumps out of the side of the road at you. Sometimes these technologies in bad weather conditions, in snow and in fog, it can be a little bit more difficult for some of these technologies, especially camera technologies that rely on cameras. Like Lane Keep Assist, if conditions aren't right, it becomes a little bit more difficult for some of those technologies to operate the way they were intended. So that's why drivers have to stay involved and engaged and focused, because you just don't know when those technologies may not give you everything that would give you in perfect world conditions. So you just got to stay focused.
That's State Farm Assistant Vice President for Enterprise Research, Laurel Straub, speaking with WGLT's Ryan Denham.